myself, Loved Ones. My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy. I'll be your selector and host this evening for Neighborhood Love Radio. This is a musical extension of neighborhood-love.com. Thank you, Loved Ones, for joining me this Sunday. I come to you this Sunday, as I do every Sunday, with a high level of guest. She's cracking up. Miss Lydia Emily, she's an artist. She's an activist from Los Angeles, and she's got a lot to talk about. I got a lot of questions for her. I've been trying about 6 weeks to get her on the show. Anyway, hi, Lydia.
Hi.
We're going to talk a little bit about a thing or two, but first up, I got some music for you. This is Wake Up Now by Dandy Tiru from his album Adventures out earlier this year. Enjoy, Loved Ones.
On my greatest venture yet, introducing Marguerite Daisy, and that's a bet. Dandelion Dust daughter, vet, healer of the soul, world traveler from Gotham City, where my mind unravels the big dreams with street scenes, the crime scenes, my heart sings a different tune, the screams start but ripped apart at the seams, but I remain calm, composed, clean, stay on my dean with this art thing, keeps up with the fantasy, Neptune jewels, cover my dome, my imagination roams, even into danger zones, where I end up alone, back to the skills that I own, tone down the excitement, seeking the enlightenment, seeing like Buddha, invoking my Vegeta, vocal tones on, I'm in the city on my own, conjuring up life songs, right and wrong, ways in a labyrinth maze, been up for days, meeting creatures, characters, links for the features, doing my part, glad I could reach ya, teach about some unknown outcomes, variety's the zone, follow your faith, even when the doubt comes, louder my case goes fun, the modern monomyth with the gift to uplift the nerdy wordsmith. 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 Wordsmith.
wanna. It's been a while. You ease back for a moment, but I need it now. I can't speak much louder, but you can hear the sound. I won't stay if you wanna go. I can't wait for it anymore. In the time that I used to know, it's gone away like a river flow. I can't stay no longer underground. I can't wait till the sun hit, and now I'm found. And lick lips on and on it, love divine. And this love in the morning is finally mine. I won't stay if you wanna go. I can't wait for it anymore. In the time that I used to.
This evening. Lydia, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. You can hear there the jelly are. Beans.
There we go. Cool. Lydia Emily, artist, activist. It's a little bit difficult to pigeonhole, but if I have to come up with a couple words for you loved ones, it would be a muralist and activist, and also, but you do a lot of brushwork paint as well, like oils and such. Is that correct?
It is. I like my soundtrack.
You like this?
I do want to dance while we're talking. And
you
I can't
can.
Dance, so it's really sad for everybody.
Yeah, move freely about the cabin.
Actually, I'm an oil painter first. Mm-hmm. That's what I do first. I paint oil paintings first. Mm-hmm. And then if I want to turn that into a mural, I do that from a painting. I never do a mural freehand first. Mm-hmm. It's always from a painting that I've started.
Excellent. And let me see, you were born in Chicago.
I was born in Chicago. Yeah. Wow, did do your research.
How long did you stick around them parts?
I lived in Chicago for, I think, a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Before my parents got...
Do you have any great memories in those
first
few weeks?
Yeah, good times. Good times there. My parents were big travelers, so I was born in Chicago, and then we went to... Gosh, I don't even know all the places we went, but we lived in New Zealand for a while. We lived in California. I've lived in New Orleans and New York and San Francisco, and I think I was raised moving every 3 years, and so I never stopped. That's how I was bred.
How long did that vagabond sort of upbringing last?
Well, it lasted my whole life until this. Right now, living in Los Angeles, I've been here for almost 10, no, I've been here for 10 years. Maybe like 9.5 years, and that's the longest I've ever been any place ever.
Are you sticking around?
I'm planning on it. Came here. 9/11 had just happened, and I lived in New York City, and that was tough on us. And my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and she lived here in Los Angeles. And I was about to have a baby, so I was like, you know what? Let's just go to Los Angeles and check it out. And it's really nice. I like being close to my mom.
Yeah.
So I like it here.
Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you. You've certainly made yourself part of the Los Angeles tapestry, you know. You can put your mark here.
I think so. And that's all thanks to...
You've peed in enough spots to claim it as your own.
You can ask Heather here, the person who's working on the documentary. I always forget to turn my microphone off, and I'm constantly leaving it on while I'm peeing.
Excellent. That'll be B-roll. What do they call those?
I don't know what they call that.
Deleted scenes, behind the scenes.
Right, you know? B-roll, peeing B-roll.
Yeah. I read somewhere that one of your parents, or maybe both your parents, or somebody was a civil rights activist.
My mother was a civil rights activist.
Mm-hmm. Is that
why
you moved
around
so much?
She traveled from New Orleans through to Mississippi and went from town to town because the law had changed. Black people were allowed to vote. They were allowed to vote, but they didn't want to register to vote. Because when people were registering to vote, even though the law said they could, the minute they registered, they lose their jobs. They would get kicked out of their housing. So even though times were changing and people were allowed to vote, people were afraid to register to vote. So my mom went from town to town trying to convince people to come out of their houses and go and register to vote. She always says that one of the things that she really regrets about that work is that she, after she got people to go and register to vote, she then went on to another town, tried to convince those people to get out and register to vote, and she never went back to see the repercussions from the people before. Mm-hmm. And when she read about it, she learned that so many people had lost their jobs, had lost their livelihood and their places to live. And she was so idealistic and young and was like, no, you can vote now, so you should do it, not realizing how their lives would be dramatically changed by that.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that from an early age, you sort of caught that same fire? As far as
we're a whole bloodline of loudmouths. Everybody in my family is pretty outspoken. So yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, the motto in the house was once you know, you can't not know. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. As soon as you know something, you can't, like, people, maybe they'll, I mean, I'm not trying to advocate on vegetarianism. I'm just using this as a metaphor. People see footage of slaughterhouses, but somehow they bury it deep down in them and they continue to eat meat. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything about eating meat or not, but the example is that once you know something's happening, you have to adjust your lifestyle based on that. And when I was growing up, the idea was you should live every minute of your life like you're on the front page of the New York Times. Everything you do has an action, reaction, and can be seen and can affect everyone. Mm-hmm. And so you should remember that when life offers you scandalous or easy way outs or a mild road. Mm-hmm. You should remember that.
And you find your, obviously your strongest way to communicate this is through your art and
through
public exposure.
Well, no, I mean, I can't write. I'm a terrible writer. And I can't, there are so many things I cannot do. But what I can do is I can paint. I can look at you and I can paint you. I'm like a human photocopier. Mm-hmm. I can take some oil paint and I can reproduce you really easily. So the idea was how can I help people with that? So I'm this photocopier. What can I do to make a difference with that talent? That's the whole premise of how I was raised. Just because you have something doesn't mean you take the easy way out. Now, what can you do to help people who don't have it as easy as you? Now that you've seen this, now that you understand what's going on, you know, in whatever part of the world you're interested in, or in your own backyard. If your talent is to paint, then how do you use paintings to help people?
Love doing so. I'm just going to qualify Lydia, her background here really fast. She's, as I mentioned before, she does a lot of public murals. She's an oil painter, obviously an activist. She's done murals in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Phoenix, Brooklyn, Oakland, D.C., St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. Probably there's a few other ones I don't know about. She's shown in galleries at most of the cities that I just named. In addition to Miami, Berlin, Milan, Haiti. She's been all around the world. She's in demand, and she's using these showings to communicate these concerns and these things that she's bearing witness to some shit we should all know about.
Right. Well, I mean, for the last 2 years, 2 years ago, everything I did was about Tibet. I'm so interested in what was happening in Tibet, so I decided to completely focus all my artwork on it. My paintings were of Tibetan people, of their struggle. I had a solo show. The entire solo show was about the struggles of people in Tibet. From there, I was exposed to things like great books like China Safari and how people are buying up land in Africa and how people are being affected by that land by who's buying the land. The Chinese are buying the land. So what's happening to the indigenous people of the area? So the land's being bought up underneath them. Where are they going? How's that working? So then that led me into the work of painting the Maasai people who are in Kenya. So each subject that I move on to has come to me from learning about the last subject I completely saturated myself in. If that makes any sense.
It does. Makes perfect sense. I want to talk to you. We're going to play a little bit of music, and then I'm going to come back, and I want to talk to you about the artwork itself. The usual influences and things like that, of course. What your tools of the trade are.
Right.
Want to hear a little bit of music first, though?
Yes, I do. I want to hear some more of the same music.
There's a recent discovery of me, personally, although this cat's been around for a while, and there's going to be a lot of a facepalm with how didn't I know this guy, but he goes by the name of Omar, and he's more or less kind of the father of the whole neo soul sound. He's a British guy. He's a Londoner, I believe. He's produced and collaborated with India RE, Erykah Badu, Stevie Wonder, and he's on this collection I found recently on Quantix True Thoughts record. They put out a collection called True Thoughts R&B. Anyway, his name is Omar. The tune is called Kiss It Right. Right after that, we're going to hear the London Posse, also from London, obviously. Future Number One is the name of the tune. They're also on True Thoughts Records. It was originally released, the record's called Gangster Chronicles. It was originally released in 2004. True Thoughts just re-released it. They repackaged it, actually, with bonus tracks. Right after that, we're going to hear probably my favorite reggae artist of all time, Mr. Peter Tosh and the Wailers. 400 Years from the Catch a Fire record, 2001. And then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more. I'm watching a debate go on about Jello Beans. I'm curious.
Talking about your tattoos.
Oh. I have tattoos, loved ones.
Lots of people faking, I don't beat their mind, 'cause it's plain as day, the truth will come out in time. You say you want the truth, but I must believe the source, 'cause there are people that like to abuse the ball. Oh, oh, yeah. Is it what? Got to kiss it bye-bye. Kiss it pop, you got to kiss it bye-bye. Kiss it right, you got to kiss it bye-bye. Got to kiss it pop, you got to kiss it bye-bye. Kiss it pop, you got to kiss it bye-bye. Got to kiss it pop, got to kiss it bye-bye. Kiss it pop, got to kiss it bye-bye. Got to kiss it pop, got to kiss it bye-bye. Do you think I'm messing with something that's my life? They can see personally, like my children or my wife. Take the crap from people and take their shit from ghosts. I can shake it up, cause more damage than the most. Kiss it, pop, got to kiss it, bye-bye. Kiss it, pop, you got to kiss it, bye-bye. Kiss it, pop, you got to kiss it, bye-bye. Got to kiss it, got to kiss it, bye-bye. Kiss it, pop, you got to
kiss it right, right. Got to kiss it right, got to kiss it right, right. Kiss it right, kiss it right, kiss it right, got to kiss it right, got to kiss it right, right. Time and time again, I find the need relaxing. Get away all by myself, I find it's much less taxing. Yeah, yeah. The day-to-day stress and strains fall behind me. Take it easy to do it all again.
You can do what you want, but don't mess with your mind. The only thing that you have, you should waste it in time. It's all about me, everyone up and know. Cause that's how I live to learn, and how I learn to grow. Whoa, 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 yeah. Kiss it right, got to kiss it right, right. Kiss it right, got to kiss it right, right. Kiss it right, got to kiss it right, right. Kiss it right, got to kiss it right, right. Kiss it right, right, got to kiss it right, right. Kiss it right, right, got to kiss it right, right.
Come from a foundation, positive thoughts are in line with my mind. So don't rewind, keep going forward, don't pause or stop. The streets where the trucks are rising, like an arising sun began and begun. Heavy as a weight, yes, my lyrics weigh a ton. Like Mr. Sheep, yeah. I've got the gleam. Things don't seem the same, yeah. Age fate like pain.
Check it. It's time to the drum. Rapper from London top. African from England has brought me down. The slappers were stinging to a rag or a hip hop soundtrack. I'm badder than your average little hip hop bow cat. Coops, I see lots, not the boots, and I get me pops. My name in Canton, all my bitches gon' move up when I hit these spots. British beats stop me regular playing. If I compare to the pigs in America, they ain't saying shit.
One, to this day now, I want it to be.
Is what I meant to. I was back in Angola when they beat down Mendo. Believe that at this time I don't take back. My crew is back. And roulette, we always bet black.
And trust me, this one happens to be on huge number one. And when me says me number one, it has to go number one. Trust me to decide.
Yeah. I never double cracker or I'm not one. Bow, I dream of fucking Margaret Thatcher with a sawn off shotgun. But louder, there's other bow cats on my hit list. I hit the plan, government shit for brains with limbrics. Man, I start, I'm blasting the old nasty grass clock faster. Sawn off S, faster, dark up, quick time. I'm blasting, I blast your slick rip stand. Get a 666 child, but you think your shit's white.
I've said it's 400 years.
What do you call it? Go with no arms and legs on your front doorstep. Matt. What do you call it? Go with no arms and legs on your wall. Art.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. We're having a lot of fun. So, Lydia, what, tell me a little bit about, let me see, the latest large piece that I know.
I'm sorry. The one in the U.S. Virgin Islands?
No, the Jessica story.
Jessica's story is on, 6th and Saras in Skid Row, here in Skid Row. Mm-hmm. And that was, originally put together by a charity called Chime for Change, which was founded by Gucci, the fashion company.
Okay.
And they hired Libby Spears, who owns a production company called Blueprint Films, to find a muralist to put a muralist with a woman who had been sexually trafficked and to hear her whole story. And they made a beautiful short about it, actually. And it's fantastic. And I was really pleased with that. Since that one, I've done, I did one in the U.S. Virgin Islands of a Maasai woman on a World War II, an abandoned World War II generator room.
Maasai woman.
Yeah. She's like...
Define?
She's from Kenya. They're an indigenous tribe in Kenya. And they're known... Visually, they're known for other things, but visually they're known for their incredibly beautiful beadwork and really bright, beautiful beads and really bright, beautiful skin. And just their traditional dress is remarkable. And as a painter, incredible. Yeah. Like, I couldn't hope for anything more incredible to work with. So I did her. And before that, I did a mural.
Before we turn the page, that's in the Virgin in St. Thomas, Virgin
it's
Islands.
It's not in St. Thomas. I believe the island that we're on is part of St. Thomas, but it's actually an island called Water Island, which has a lot of World War II bunkers on it.
Really?
Yeah, okay. And so it's the island. If you're on St. Thomas, I believe it's the island between you and when you get up, you're facing towards Puerto Rico.
How large is the piece? 10 feet, 20 feet.
I don't think about feet. It's a story and a half. It's a story tall, probably
Sure.
And then a small building long. Mm-hmm. That's like the most unofficial metric system ever.
Uh-huh. And you knew what the subject matter was.
I knew what the subject matter was when I went. Yeah. And I actually had to put down a lot of paper because the building was so completely... the side of the building, the facade was completely coming off. It was concrete, and it just had been weathered hurricane after hurricane, and so I had to fill all the holes with paper and spackle and things like that to try and flatten it a little bit because I couldn't make a face out of her. Like, you couldn't even... The building was so destroyed, you couldn't have made a face. So I tried to fill it in as best as I could, but I only worked on it for... I worked on it for a day, and there's a picture of it on my website. And then,
LydiaEmily.com.
Yeah. And then before that one, I did a project with Daniel Lahota and the Weinstein Company. So they had put out a movie, they bought a movie about Oscar Grant, who was the young black man who was shot in the back while he was handcuffed in San Francisco on the BART a few years ago.
One. Yeah.
And somebody made a local Oakland filmmaker made a movie about it, and the Weinsteins, I think, saw it at Sundance or something and loved it and bought it. And part of their promotion of the film was to have a few muralists, street artists, do murals of this. So I did Los Angeles and, I did San Francisco, and LNY did New York. Mm-hmm. And so I went and I did that.
Okay, let's talk about that one. Like, what's your prep work that you would lay down? I know you talked briefly about the one in Virgin Islands, laying down paper, you know.
Right. I mean, they're all different. It's the one here in Skid Row is just acrylic. It's just outdoor acrylic, Nova Color, on the wall. And the wall was already smooth and ready to go. The one in the Virgin Islands required so much prep. And the one in San Francisco was actually done on EcoFlex. Is that right? EcoFlex was done on EcoFlex, which is the problem with billboards is that they're made out of vinyl and they're incredibly toxic and you can't recycle them. And so Daniel Lahota had found this company that makes environmentally friendly billboard material. So it's recyclable billboard material. It's called EcoFlex. And so his idea was, because the original painting I'd done of Oscar Grant has my what I'm known for, which is doing the Sunday New York Times behind all of my pieces.
Yes.
I paint only on the Sunday New York Times. And the movie company, the Weinstein Company, loved the Sunday New York Times. But how do you put that on? Well, they liked the original painting. Mm. So how do we get newsprint on a two-story building that's a half a city block long? Mm. That would take a crew of people.
Why do you only use Sunday New York
Times? Why do I only use Sunday New York Times? When I was growing up, the Sunday New York Times was like the Bible in my house. So if other people, other artists paint their paintings on Bible passages, or my parents were academics, and their premise was, you're smart first and everything else comes second.
Well, let's talk about the Jessica one, because that's the one that's the most local to the show right now, right?
Okay.
So, not much prep as far as the building, the facade, you know?
No, the facade was perfect.
And so you sketch out what the original piece is going to be, and I'm sure you revise it, modify it, and then...
Well, I was sat with her, and I heard her story. I had to listen to her story first. Like, so there's a portrait of her, but then there's these hummingbirds in it, because that was really important and pivotal to her story, and then there's some writing on it that was very important to her from a song that meant a lot to her during her process, so...
But in the sketch, in the preliminary, like, sketching process, do you already know what the building, where it's going? So you have to take into account, like...
Well, we went and we photographed the building.
Okay.
That was another...
So you know where the windows and things
are. Well, and that was another project that we got help from LA Free Walls on. So he was able to take us down to the building and say, this is the building that I think is appropriate based on what you're doing and the person who owns the building and the corner that it's on. All these things come together, and then we photograph it. We take the photograph home, do the sketch, and look at it and say, okay, well, there are windows here. Her face obviously can't be in this corner. Mm-hmm. Or what are we going to do about those windows? Are we going to paint them out? And then we have to discuss with the building owner, are we allowed to paint on this? Or how can we go to the ground? Can we go to the ceiling? How do we have access? It's a long process.
Excellent. And I imagine you got some people helping you out.
I do. In the Jessica mural itself, I was assisted by Van Arno and Margaret Leahy. Margaret Leahy's a phenomenal toy maker. She's not even a muralist. She's incredibly, she's very famous in the doll scene, and she makes these incredible dolls. She's so talented.
The doll scene.
I know. There's a scene for everything,
good
band name. Doll scene. It's awesome. Mm. No, but there is. People who are like, she's the kind of person who does the beautifully intricate carved Pinocchios. When you go to Disneyland, and they're on the top shelf and they're made out of wax. Like, she does those. She's mad legit. It's incredible what she can do with her hands. And then Van Arno, who also assisted me on that mural, is, you can Google Van. He's a remarkable painter. He's a mannerist. And so his technique is so good. And he had never done a mural before.
Yeah.
So it was great for all of us.
Loved ones, you can view this work that we're talking about, and we have been talking about the other works and many, many others at Lydia's website, www.lydiaemily.com. A little bit more butt kissing for Lemony. She founded the Karma Underground. Could you tell us just very briefly about that?
Yeah, 2 years ago I founded the Karma Underground, which is we're kind of a not-for-profit money laundering business. That's the best way I can say it. We are not the typical not-for-profit where people make money. None of us get paid. There's 7 of us. We're all volunteers. We all have our role. We throw art shows. I get all my friends together who are artists, and I beg them for art, and then we have a big art show. We sell the art, and every year the money goes to the charity we have chosen. So 2 years ago, we helped build a small girl for a school for nomadic girls in Tibet. Mm-hmm. This year, our show was for Tibet House, a totally different charity, but also a Tibet-related charity. And then next year, we're talking about doing a local charity, a Los Angeles charity. And so we'll do the same thing. We have art shows. The night of first night of the show, we have an auction where everything goes for half price. Mm-hmm. And people bid on stuff. And it's great for everybody. For me, I felt like all my artist friends here in Los Angeles are so talented, and they want to give and they want to be charitable, but there's not really an organization that's just trying to have art shows. It's always run by something bigger than us. And so I thought, what if it was one of us? What if it was just one of us artists playing art gallery for the night, putting together a show? And people, they want to give. They want to participate.
Yeah.
They just need the venue to participate in.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Lydia Emily, artist, activist, mom, world traveler, jelly bean sorter. Apparently, the only thing she can't do is sit down too much long, very long, you know, before she has to get out there and I guess leave the world a little bit better place than when she started, it looks
aww.
Like.
Flirt. Fresh. Fresh. Go on.
Hey, loved ones, real quick, we're going to come back into some music. You guys hanging out for a little bit?
We can hang out for a little bit.
Cool. Loved ones, I just want to tell you real briefly about my good buddy Matt Beard. He was on a prior show. He's one of the head honchos over at G4 Graphics. You know them. They wrap the King Zamboni, and they do a lot of studio stuff. Anything you've seen Iron Man in Los Angeles, they probably had their fingerprints all over. Anyway, he's got a new website called Check This Ink. Fine art prints, posters, stickers from some of LA's emerging and popular artists, where you can go on there and find some nice works at very affordable prices. Posters, stickers, and such. Artists like Chad Carruthers, Jero, Scepterhead. Anyway, checkthisink.com. And while we're talking about websites, we're going to talk about this, neighborhoodlove.com. This is the musical extension of neighborhood-love.com. Else has a pretty cool story about two 1990 graffiti crews coming together for a summit, and mayhem ensues. I recommend checking that out. It's a really funny story. Here's a little more music for you. This is Adam and Eve featuring Alice Russell by the Skeletons. Thanks, loved ones.
Justice, just us, as the ashes and dust to dust. Time has come for most of us to choose in which God we trust. I know I
was born to die, searched to find the peace of mind. With 85, was dumb and blind. There can be no compromise. Off the slide, yeah. Won't the pie, why is why?
So much, loved ones, for coming back. Coming to you this Sunday, as I do every Sunday. Miss Letty Emily has been my guest. You can find more information, the artwork we've been talking about, and some other links at www.lydiaemily.com. That's spelled LYDIAEMILY.com. One of the organizations represents is the Karma Underground. And I believe you can find a link on there on your website.
Right, or you can go to thekarmaunderground.com, spelled, okay, you know, regularly.
Awesome. Loved ones, this is Neighborhood Love Radio, a musical extension of neighborhood-love.com. We record here at Skid Row Studios. If you like some of the shows here, including the Healing Hour or the Very Manic Jimmy Cab Show, you can find the Skid Row Studios app at the Apple iTunes, excuse me, the iTunes App Store, and also for your Android users, Stitcher.com. Thank you so much, loved ones. I will be talking at you next week. Enjoy.